What up? What up? Welcome in, everybody. Welcome to Rich Dreams TV, Rich Dreams Pod, man. Here with my co-host G. I am your boy Smoke. Coming in with a guest today, man. Got a special guest today, man. Marcel Clemens. Appreciate you for joining the show, my brother.
Yes, sir. And I appreciate y'all for having me, for real, for real. I appreciate that.
Nah, most def, man. Definitely had noticed you, man, just on Instagram, and noticed you kind of building yourself up, getting your wave going and everything. How long have you been on the music scene?
Shit, so that was like 15. So I'm in my early 30s now. So I'm working back into content creation. I think I moved a little bit like a rapper at first. You know what I'm saying? You're shooting a video and then you put it out and you do this. But just kind of being around the right people. I live in Austin now. So like.
Okay. That's a bet, man.
Best rap.
When you say moving like a rapper, what you mean, man?
That sound bad, don't it? My bad. No, what it is we got done with this EP with me and Tay, and I wanted to shoot videos, but I'm trying to do more, having more strategic of how I'm kind of going about it. Instead of shooting videos, go where the faces is at, where the content is at. It's usually Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, those, wherever the eyes are at. People are not really, you know, running and watch music videos as much as they used to. They're catching short form content. So we had I had left the studio one night. Actually, the one of the reels that I posted at the studio that night, Tay, who I've been working with, he's younger than me. So he's a little bit younger than me. So he's just like, man, instead of you doing this, do this. Instead of you do this, try this out. And I usually get the idea. I sit around and I just try to come up with the best way to pull that off. So he'll come with the idea, I'll finish it off. Like, I edit all my videos, I do all my graphics, I do everything by myself. So but I've been doing it for a while, and I've been doing it since I was 15. So just when I say moving like a rapper, I mean more like moving business minded and how I'm going about this, instead of just moving like an artist, move like a businessman, you know what I'm saying? So that's my main.
I like that.
You know,
that's smart, especially when you're saying implement new techniques and strategies, like filming different when you're shooting a video. So that's
it's big difference for sure. But yeah, I've been doing it for a while. I'm dropping two projects next month, and then two projects next month, more of a storytelling project, kind of like a Good Kid, Mad City kind of project. And then me and Tay got an album, and then I have a song with Chiquita B, who's a huge, huge artist out here in Austin. It's a really dope, dope, dope song. So that'll be the next move after that, for sure, for sure. I'm gonna do that after this. We're moving, making a little bit of moves, a little bit, trying to do something.
So I heard you mention Tay a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Is that a collab artist that you work with, or is that a producer?
Tay is the guy. If you ever look at the Instagram videos, it usually is me, and then I will drop another clip of the second half of the song. So he's the guy in the second half of the song. His name, he goes by Tay Fontaine, and he's always just been supportive. We've always been supportive of each other. We've been real good friends. And then I came to him after somebody listened to a couple of our songs that we did together and was like, how about y'all do a collab album? So him right there, the one right there, that's him.
Okay.
I came to him, I was like, hey, how about we just do a collab album? It's easier. We don't got to spend too much time on it. Get our ball rolling, which is a blessing, because again, he's the one teaching me new techniques and new ways to go about this. So that kind of worked out for me. Dope. He's a dope artist. I've been doing him before he had dreads. That's how long I've been around him.
Down from the start. That's the same with this dude right here, man. I know him before he had before he was Becky with the good hair.
For sure, for sure.
You know, he blind, so he a little bougie nowadays. But I knew it worked.
I told somebody the other day, like, you bougie. I said, I work hard enough to be bougie. I feel like.
Okay. I like it.
No, I still keep it cool. For sure.
That's
For
what's
sure. For
up,
sure.
bro. And you got to, man. You got to stay down to earth and humble, man. That's one of the things that we, you know, press upon being the Rich Dreams brand as well, man. Gee, I think that's one of your favorite sayings and captions that you post a lot as well. How does it go?
Now it's like I copy and paste it, so I don't type.
But no, it goes sort of like even when like, seeing progress, remain humble.
Keep progressing.
There you go.
I try my best to like remain humble, but understand who I am. I'm too humble, people try to run over you a little bit, but like as I'm not famous, I'm not famous, I'm not anything, but I know what I'm worth. You know what I'm saying? I know what I bring to the table. I know what I can bring in when I walk in a room. I know what I can bring in there. You might not know it, not y'all, but I'm gonna bring something to the table for sure. So I know my value, but I'm humble enough. Like, hey, I'm not rich. I'm not none of that. I'm still a normal dude. Like, I still have a regular life like everybody else. It's just. I know what I want at the end of the day. So that's a big thing. For sure.
I like that, man. Because that's kind of a staple of the Rich Dreams brand as well. It's like, it's not always just about the money. Doing what you love. So you saying like you and you've been in the game since you 15. This is something you always know you want to do. Mm-hmm. So that's part of you living your rich dream, man, is keeping on that grind.
Yeah. I like that.
So
I like
you just did a show this past weekend.
Yeah, I just did a show this weekend. I did a show with Notes Smith. He's in Killeen, actually. We used to actually do a podcast together called Stink So Good, which is a weed smoking podcast, and we did that for a little bit. And then we bump heads too much, so we kind of just was like, maybe not business wise, maybe this not this kind of business. So we still cool, but I'm too headstrong. He too headstrong. It was his show, so I kind of just let him rock. But we still are really, really good friends. I did my thing on that one. It was kind of cool.
Aggressive weed smokers though, bro.
Who me?
I'm a smoker. Nah, man, I'm just messing around with you. But that's cool though. It's dope that you've been able to explore many facets of entertainment. So you done podcasts. Have you done anything else as far as besides music wise? Have you done movies or anything of that nature?
Yeah, I'm writing a book now to actually go. I'm trying to get to it. Me and my daughter are working on it together, so we're trying to get that together. She's kind of throwing some ideas, but I'm working on a book to go with the album because it's like I said, it's a story. One day I'm hoping I can turn it into a movie. So that's the next goal. So I'm trying to get out of, I don't want to make music forever. Like I think I've been doing it for a very long time, but me personally, I'm more of a creative person just in general. I just make music. I'm good at making music. I can draw, I can paint, I can do all kinds of stuff. So who knows where I go? I just kind of go with the flow. Today, I feel like making a song. I tell my girl, she's in the living room right now. I tell her some days I don't feel like being an artist. You know, some days you wake up, you're just like, I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like getting in the booth. But lately, I've just been getting up, doing it, and it's been paying off. It's been really paying off just getting up and just being able to network. And then being in Austin just in general, you can walk outside the street and run into somebody at this point. You know what I'm saying? It's Austin. I'm pretty sure it's the same with Dallas. So, and I have a lot of influences too. Like, I don't know if y'all know who Mozo Art is. I don't know if y'all ever heard of him before, but he does a lot of graphics he does a lot of
graphics. I hadn't heard of him, though.
Yeah, he does all the graphics he does shit for like everybody. He does stuff for J. Cole, Kendrick, a lot of Dallas artists, Yella Beezy, Go Yo Yo.
Okay.
Like he does their cover art. And me and him are really, 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 really close friends. And he just kind of teach me how business works. And I maybe help him a little bit. So I'm trying to get into business more than anything. That's my biggest.
You can never go wrong there, man. Anytime you learning the economics of how the everything that you want to participate in works, mm-hmm. you definitely have an upper hand for sure.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. But yeah, I'm enjoying myself. How long have I been doing this?
So we're going into our second year.
This is year two for y'all? That's dope.
Yep.
That's dope.
Yep.
That's
dope. That's dope. It'll be 2 years for sure in December.
Okay.
Yeah. And okay. Man, we just, like you said, we enjoying it, kind of riding the wave.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a good networking space for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we like it to, for sure, myself, I like it because I feel like it just shines a light on, like, just Black people that's really, you know, doing their thing, man. That's really out here on the grind. That's really out here trying to build themselves up.
Because y'all just don't do artists. Like, I checked a couple of y'all stuff, and y'all do everybody. Y'all do y'all do everybody. I think I watched
the
episode.
That's what we want to be, man. We want to be a show of the culture, period.
Yeah. I respect that.
You got to bring white boys on here next, you know.
Because they part of it, too, though. That's the thing about it, man.
Yeah, true.
The culture is everybody.
Yeah, true.
But, you know, we got to start with us, though, because it's not a lot of times that we get platforms to just put the shine on us, so.
Yeah, we don't get a lot.
That's where we starting, but we gonna be worldwide with it, man. Now, want to talk about, man, what makes you passionate? I just was hearing you saying, you know, sometimes you might not feel like an artist. Where is it that you draw passion from? Is it from artists that you grew up listening to, like you was describing, or is it just your life in general? Or
it's a little bit of everything, I think. Lately it's been the fact that I'm able to create in different ways. So like for me, like it was just music, and now I'm able to shoot, like I direct all the videos, I edit all of them. I think that's giving me more of a creative outlet. So therefore it's also helping me like be more creative with the song. So it's giving me another thing to do. I think for me, I always wanted to get to a point where my videos can coincide with my music. So at this point, I'm under crunch right now. Okay. But usually sometimes it's a conversation with my daughter. She'll do something like make a jacket. She makes clothes too. So she'll make like a jacket or a shirt. And if she's being creative, I got to make sure that I'm, you know, keeping my creative juices going so she can keep hers going. I'm not saying that I'm the end all be all, but if she can do it, I can do it too. I listen to I don't listen to a lot of music as much. I listen to more podcasts than anything. But if I do listen to music, I'm a huge Wayne fan. I think a lot of people can tell that with like the words, the metaphors and punchlines that I come.
I was listening to a couple of your projects today, man, earlier. Let me see. I got to look it up because I'm just getting familiar with the music.
Yeah, for sure.
Listen to Holier Than Now. Yeah. And I caught a couple like Wayne type references in that thing.
I do that on purpose. I'm glad you caught it because nobody catches that. I do that on purpose.
Man. Now I'm a Wayne head too, so you definitely ain't gonna get that by me, my boy, for real.
Yeah, I have a lot of on this next song that I just wrote called Prophecy. I haven't recorded. I go next week to go record it. I do like a little like tidbits of here and there, like I'm just lets people know like I'm a student, like as much as I, you know, I can do this, I'm still watching everything. So that's a big thing. Which one did you caught the dang, it's gonna bother me too. It's gonna bother me too because I know exactly which one you're talking about. But sure, for sure. I didn't know. Yeah, I'm glad there's another Wayne head out here, for sure.
Oh, yeah, man. All day. Yeah, I wrote down a couple of the bars, but it wasn't the Wayne bar specifically, but it was just something that kind of stood out to me.
Okay, which one
we're talking about? Finding in my notes. Let's see
here. Man, what made you get into rapping, bro? You say you started at 15, right?
Yeah, actually, to tell you the truth, I've always been kind of into, like, words, right? So I've always been writing and everything like that, but I had a dude at my school. His name was Kenny. He was he was known around the school, like a little middle school or whatever. And he used to bring, I don't know if y'all remember the remember CDs, but they used to have the CDs and they used to have he used to come in and do something different because I come from zero, that era. So you have the cassettes. So he'd come around to do a little bit different, to do cassettes instead of doing CDs. And since me always being like writing, I've always wrote stories and stuff like that. I took my little shot at it. I was like, let me write a little rap or something. And then I wrote one. And then the guy he ended up working with, he actually ended up passing away not too long ago. But he was like, your shit sucks. And I was like, ah, man, maybe it ain't for me. But then the dude that I actually like kind of looked up to was like, nah, if you really work on this and you really get into it, you actually would be good at this. And he brought me to my first studio session that same time period. And ever since then, I've just been like writing ever since that. I'm a big fan of everybody. Like I'm not as much as I love famous people. I love how, you know, I love the Drakes and everything like that. I be fans of people who be just around me. Okay. So like, you know what I'm saying? You don't have to have a billion plays for me to be a fan of you. If you dope, you dope.
Right.
Sure.
If you dope, you dope. Then I got that in. And then when I was 22, I got signed to Juicy J for a little bit.
Really?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was
kind of
fun.
How was your experience, man? Being signed to a big guy like that?
It was good. It was a good time. I ended up getting a call, and then they just kind of called me and was like, hey, we need you to come out here and write for us. And I was not looking to be a writer at all. And I was just thinking to be an artist. But the guy who ended up getting the record deal end up possibly losing it because he wasn't, you got to produce when you get into the game, right? So he wasn't making the song. So I got a call from one of the guys and was like, hey, we know your pen is nice. We just need you to come out here and write for us. And I actually lost my deal at first because I asked for too much money. So that goes to the value thing, right? So I got my first deal, but I was going to be gone for like 3 or 4 months, and I had a regular job. Like I had a normal job like everybody else. So if I'm gonna be gone, I still got bills to pay.
Yeah.
So I came around, I was like, I'll sign for this much. And they called me a week later, it was like, nah, we're not going with you. And it was like, I was like, damn, no, hold on.
yeah. That's the crazy thing, man, because you know you want to, you know, make sure that you getting your worth and your value. But you also don't want to miss an opportunity. I mean, how did you balance that?
If you're not don't have a network of people, you know, some people, you know, especially like you just coming in the game and somebody like Juicy J reach out, it's kind of like you in a tight spot because you want the opportunity, but at the same time, not be what it, you know, necessarily what you want it to be. But everybody new coming in, I think you still have to take that and be like, okay, I'm going to take it, but I'm going to make sure I grind to where I can get to where I want to be financially, you know?
And that's what I kind of went in like, right? So I come in, I fly out, I'm riding Rolls Royces, I meet some famous people, but you got to understand, I'm literally just now starting. Like, I've been 5 years in. I don't have an album out. I don't got nothing. Like, I'm just literally just... So this is the first impression to me. So I'm just still trying to get my pen right. I'm still playing with metaphors and punchlines. Maybe this one would be better. And I get a call, like, hey, we need you to come out there. I sit out there for about a month and a half, 2 months. It was cool. It was really cool to see that I think that was like a blessing because it just showed me that at the end of the day, no matter how big you are or how small you are, it's business is business. A lot of people see the glitz and glamour and see the Rolls Royces on the car, but they don't know that the person in the video doesn't own that car. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's those things you get early in the game to kind of humble you a little bit and also understand that you don't have to be that if you don't want to, because it's given to them in the first place. Like, I was at a video shoot one time. It was one of the video shoots. And I don't want to tell anything too crazy, but Juicy J wasn't a huge smoker like that when I was around him. Like, this whole Stay Trippy thing was brand new to us. Like, it was like the whole new brand for him. So we're kind of coming in, and they kind of run down the story with us. And yeah, they pull up with cars and chains and shirts, and these companies pull up, yeah. And he's putting on these chains, he's standing in front of these cars, and they just made an advertisement that fast. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you kind of get into learning, like, oh, that's how this works. Oh, that's okay. How that go. Oh, that's how that go. That's how you go. And you might not, it might not mean nothing at that moment, but to this day, I remember that. And that was 7-8 years ago at this point. Almost, I think probably 10 years ago at this point, probably more than that. And I just still remember it just kind of being like, that's not real. Like, I could look at posts and stuff now and be like, that's not real. They were like, no, because no, I've seen this before. I've seen this before.
You know, we're seeing that a lot of kind of that exposedness of like the industry.
It's nasty.
Yeah. Which is saying that certain things like that, like, has kind of kept you out of the main spotlight.
There's
been like some weird stuff.
Yeah, because it's getting to the point where music has become love and hip hop. You know what I'm saying? It's not just I've kind of missed, and we'll never get it back, but we'll never get to it. When we didn't know shit about them. Like, we didn't know nothing about them.
Yeah. Bro. Yeah. So I'm 34.
Okay, I'm 32.
I had that conversation before about just the mystique of not knowing who these guys are in real life.
Yeah,
like,
they
had a camera or Instagram and all this on Pac and Big and all these guys back in the day. We may have a different opinion on these guys.
Yeah.
I like the mystique of being like, okay, the dude I see on TV, that's who you are. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I really miss it because I like the fact that and that's what I'm saying, learning these new ways. Like, in my mind, I'm still thinking, like, we got to operate in the fence of, like, Michael Jackson, Prince. Like, you didn't know J. Cole is another example of a person you don't know anything about. You know a little bit. If I can have something of, like, a J. Cole career, it don't even got to be as big as J. Cole, but something where you don't need to know what anybody looks like, I'm fine with that. But I think this next wave, I think what ended up happening is, this, and it's nothing, no slight to the female artist, it became salacious to sell, right? You have to be salacious to sell now. Like, if you really think about it, there's not been a high selling album without a gimmick in the last 7 years. Like,
right.
There hasn't, and probably even longer than that, it has to go with a story, then an album. A claim and then an album, and that's kind of getting almost annoying because it's taking away the fact that music, you're supposed to have, whenever you listen to a song, it's supposed to be encapsulated into your lifestyle, not somebody. It's supposed to be organic. And I was trying to talk to somebody about it not too long ago about certain artists that we canceled out. I said, you are trying to cancel out a lot of artists that these songs are related to their wedding or when their baby is just born. But we're also running into seeing that our superstars that we looked up to are goofies.
That's what this social media is. Man, I swear to God, bro. Like, I think the same way on that tip. I'll go even to this recent, and we kind of want, I'm sure Rob was going to ask you, but kind of want to get your take on the state of hip hop recently. But
yeah,
I remember when J. Cole dropped a couple weeks ago when J. Cole dropped his project, and you had the diss record on there at first, which he took off. I respect the move. People was like, I'm a barber, so you know, I cut a lot of guys. They come in, man, you heard the track? And I'm just like,
they ain't never listened to a J. Cole song in their life.
Bro, it's like I'm like, bro, I want to listen to the whole project. Like, to me, that track was the weakest track on the project.
It was bad. It wasn't bad. It was just like this. It wasn't needed.
It wasn't needed at all, bro. That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah,
weakest track on the project. So I'm listening, going through it as it, and they like, man, you gotta go. I'm like, for what? Like, I'll get to it. Like,
you gotta listen to it as a whole.
Exactly.
Yeah. Listen to it as a whole. People take a lot of time to make these projects. Like, it's not cheap to make these projects. It's not easy to take these to make these projects. And I think going back to what you said, that's the biggest issue with me. It's just making music used to be somewhat of an exclusive club. Like, it used to be like it was me back in my hometown. It was me, Gutter Gaddafi, Slab, he was a big artist where I was from. But then it turned in, I go back home now and they're like, they treat me like I'm just some goat, but I'm in my mind I'm not. But then the reason why is because they just started rapping a year ago.
Right.
And they didn't listen to my songs and be like, bro, you the best. I'm just like, no, I'm not. You just started. Find somebody else to kind of get your thing from. But that's a big thing. I think I kind of seen that today with, I think a lot of artists are being catapulted because of their personality, and a lot of people are looked at funny. I think a lot of artists, like, I know I don't want this to go viral later on or nothing like that, but I do too. But like, I'm starting to see like these artists, like Ye, like Kanye. I'm just like, oh, you really are just a goofy in real life. And as much as I love you, like, I created my albums and I created my music built off of his blueprint. Like, I'm not saying that I love him for his music, but as of lately, I think now that we have a personality to go with it, we can also look at him like, you not that dude like that.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Not in a bad way.
Just more so humanizes kind of the hero complex we have with our superstars and artists, because I feel like, especially within the culture, black people, we have a tendency to make them more than what they are. Like,
bad habit of that.
Yeah, it's like Tupac was more than just an artist. He more than just, like, to us, he a gangster. He's a hood superhero.
Like heroes, but I think that really come from not having your dad in the house a lot of times.
I was just about to say
that's your first hero as a boy.
You have to, because I think people kind of forget how blank you are when you're a kid, right? I think as time goes on, especially with, and I just talked about that, the music business is a very predatory place. Sure. It's a very, very, very predatory place. So I think with us, financially and educational-wise, they knew what they were doing. There's plenty of interviews where executives be like, no, I knew what I was doing. I'm not going to miss out on a dollar. And at the end of the day, I can't be mad at somebody making the money. It's our fault that we didn't know about these things.
They call him the culture vulture?
Lior Cohen.
Lior.
Yeah, Lior, he came out and he was like, yeah, but it's at the same time, it's somewhat of a predatory thing on their end. It's a little bit of predatory thing going on our end, and we got to be completely honest. But I was talking to somebody, actually Notes, the one I just did a show with, I was talking to him the other day. I said around that 95 to 98 time is when it shifted. I don't know what it was. I said some point, I think there was a point between the Commons and the Erykah Badus and the Lauryn Hills that we were trying to steer this a different way. But I don't think that was really working as well. I think what was really working was Flashy Diddy. What was really working was that, because as black people, we want to see outwards. We want to see outwards. I think a lot of people no slight to white folks. White people want to see inwards. I think they want to see what's really going on in life, because we know this is not real. I think black people look at it as like, this can't be it. This has to be something else out there. It's the other way around with us. And I think it's very predatory. I've seen so many things and so many situations, like even with this whole Diddy situation that kind of just happened, right? Or any of these situations, as much as that we can come out and be outraged now, and we can all say these things, y'all been knowing this for 20 years. Y'all been knowing this for 20 years. Y'all been giving this man money for 20 years plus, and now the story's out. Now we can't be associated with this person. You knew this 6 months ago.
Right.
And it's like that in every facet. I'm a big firm. I don't like posthumous albums. I think that's the most tackiest thing you can ever do. and that's probably the discouraging part about it, is that my words are very, very, very important to me. And for somebody just to take it and just say, he's our property, we can do whatever we want with it, that's a little bit distasteful for me. And I don't know if every day I want to be a part of that. And that was one of the reasons I ended up actually leaving my Juicy J thing, because I'm not that type of artist. I smoke weed all day, every day, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, that's not my image. You know what I'm saying? So when I was around, especially at 21, like I really didn't feel the God in it. I'm a big God guy. If you ever catch the themes of my projects, I'm a big
So I was just going to ask you, speaking on that, you saying, that's not your image, but that's something that you do. One of your quotes that I was going to ask you about is, thou shalt never judge a book until you read the pages. I thought that was a dope line that you had said in the
That was on Thou Shall, right? That was Thou
Yeah.
Shall. Yeah, I
So
love that song.
do you feel like that's kind of been your experience? People kind of, I guess, treat you a certain way, as far as like in the industry before actually knowing you or before listening to your music or.
I think people meet me and they realize how I'm goofy as hell. Like, I think that's a big thing. Like, if people, I like to crack jokes, bro. I don't really take too many things. I think everything's serious, so in my mind, I keep everything funny. But no, when I wrote Thou Shall, I wanted to tell a story. I wanted to tell a story of two different perspectives of two people who could end up in the same room, right? So I wanted to tell a story of a rapper who's just trying to make it, and I wanted to tell a story of a stripper who's just trying to make it. And at the end of the night, they came together, and they know they've as much. I wanted to tell a story where this is just a regular night, it's a regular Friday night to them.
That
It's a
word.
regular, it's a regular Friday night for her to see a rapper. It's a regular Friday night to see a stripper. But let's get into the psyche of it. Let's get into the actual mind frame of what's going on while they're sitting there. Like I said, she's done this 1,000 times. She doesn't go home with anybody else. All his chains is fake. As much as he get all these girls at night, as much as he get all these girls at night, he has no kids. He ain't got no legit woman at the house. These things are prevalent into these situations. The funny part is, at that time when I wrote that song, I probably been to a strip club maybe once.
Sure, for sure.
Like, I was just like, I was in the club kind of seeing how things work a little bit. And I was like, I told my friend, I was like, I'm gonna go home and write a song about it. And then I wrote Thou Shall. That was one of the songs. I thought that, I love that song, matter of fact. I love that
That's a
song. I was
good
at
path
the
anyway. You ain't
I
missing
would
much.
I went the other day. We went last, I went to the strip club in like March. We went to the one in San Antonio. It's not what it is, bro. I don't like seeing that at all. But I noticed something. Black strip clubs throw money. It's very showboaty. It's very showboaty. I've been in the one. I seen James Harden. Yeah, I seen James Harden in one in Houston. And then when you go to these white strip clubs are a little bit different because they'll have a girl dance or whatever. But then somebody will pay for them for the rest of the night. Oh, it's my
They
homeboy
run
gang.
the long game up in there. Them's is city bars though, man. They
It was like, oh, I was like, oh, I get it now. But yeah, but for sure, for sure.
It's
But
wild.
yeah. Yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah, I've been
So
doing
what,
this.
let me ask you, you're not, so you have like you're saying, a God theme with your music, because your first movie that I listened to was Sunday Service, and I'm like, okay, might have like Christian rapper vibe going on, but
It's not.
music is explicit as well.
So did you think Lotto's song was gonna be some on some Christian vibes?
I was kind of hating when she came out with
Nah.
hers. I was kind of
Nah.
hating. I
But
was
it
like,
just, I
damn.
mean, it had like,
What actually
the
happened with that was, and it's again how things kind of just roll together, right? So after I leave my Juicy J deal, I walk away from it. I was just like, nah, I can do this shit by myself. Like, I was like, I feel like I can figure this out. So I leave that deal. And then a friend of mine's, we were sitting around the house, And don't tell me, my one thing about me, don't tell me no ideas because I'm gonna work my hardest to get it done. So he comes to me and he was like, what if you come in with an album, like an EP, to tell him that you're not with Juicy J no more and you got your own thing going? You need to let him know who you are. And he was like, how about Genesis? So it was like, obviously, Genesis is the beginning of the book, but it's also like beginning of the Marcel thing, right? So I just kept that theme going on, and it just kind of evolved into Sunday Service, into Holier Than Thou, to next, I'm kind of playing with some names, with some new ones. And then Lazarus Project was just a whole bunch of songs I had around the internet, and I just smashed it into one album. But yeah, we're keeping the theme going for a while. Everything outside of me doesn't have a church theme, but everything inside of it has a church theme because all of them have a loose-based story. Even with Holier Than Thou, it's a loose-based story. It's a story of having an ego, right? It's a story about having an ego, being braggadocious, being having a bravado about yourself. But if you listen to the last song, I'm pretty much saying on the end of that, I'm saying, hey, as much as I'm confident, as much as I feel confident, I got days. Like, I know what I'm doing. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's somewhat of a, again, a holier than thou concept to it. So they all have some kind of loose story to it.
No, when I was listening to, because I listened to those two particularly, I listened to Holier Than Thou and then Sunday Service.
Yeah,
and between those two, you could hear like the growth and, and that's why I like when I find the artist, I like to listen to their projects because I want to hear like, okay, kind of what your story was when you started. And then
that's
how you
another thing. That's another thing that's gone too.
Oh yeah,
about the music business. If I want to make 20 song albums, ain't nobody listening to 20 song albums, bro.
No.
Oh man.
Unless they a minute a piece.
So I'm re-releasing that one next month. Okay. I'm re-releasing that one next month. New cover, new everything. I redid the whole cover all over again, and then an EP, and then I'm doing a single. The single's hard, though. It's hard. Probably my best rapping I've done in a long time. But It's hard. I'm happy about that one. I'm really happy.
So how going back to, you know, you're not wanting to put out as many songs just because of the attention span thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a lot of artists out nowadays, I see that they pay attention to analytics, kind of like sports.
Yeah.
Which I think that takes some of the organic feel out of it. Take a rapper, for instance, like DaBaby. I think DaBaby can rap his ass off.
Yeah, for sure.
I think he can rap his ass off. But I've heard him mention like, well, yeah, man, we like to keep the songs within 2 minutes because they study show that blah blah blah. But it's like, bro, it have you chasing something like he came in the game with big hits.
Yeah.
It seemed like now it's just like he's chasing that next big hit with every song.
I think with me personally, I try to take some and leave some.
Right.
So I'll take what I feel like will work. Okay, I don't need to make a 4.5 minute song, but I can do a 3 minute song.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Meet it in the middle. Okay, I won't do 10, but I'll do 7. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I gotta always have in my mind frame that I'm still introducing myself to people.
No,
so I know that if I'm still introducing myself to people, 10 songs is a lot for some people still to this day. So I still operate like that until I get to a point where I have enough. Then I'll give them a, like, Church Was Good as a full album. That's probably the closest thing that you'll get from me. But that took a lot of work. Like, that took a lot of work. It took a lot of samples. It took a lot of coming back, taking the idea, ripping it apart, putting it back over here, redoing these verses, paying for this production over here that was $1,000, paying for this over here. So for me to put my whole heart into it, I have to feel like the return is coming back to me, regardless if it's the people or the money. I kind of go about it as in, like, what makes sense for the project. Right. So if it's 7, like with Church Was Good, it's 7 songs because 7 is a completion number. So that's another thing. But it's also like I want to be able to, I shouldn't have to go through 80 songs to map out what I want, because I also think that's a detriment in some artists too. I think they record too much. As much as I'm a Wayne fan, I think his issue. I really want to explain how much of a Wayne fan I actually am. I think the issue is with him is he records too much, right? I think he needs his 444. I think he needs his. Hey, I've been here since I was 11 years old. Let me tell you what I've seen in the last 30 years. He needs that second wave of an artist. I even see that with my favorite artist. I'm a big Chris Brown fan too. You can hear it. You can hear it in it. You can be like, if you just kind of just keep it concise and keep something that's kind of telling somewhat of a storyline, then we'll probably have a different product. But when if you're just delivering, you're not worried about that. You got somebody else picking your songs for you. You're always going to have bad projects. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I try to keep it as concise as and clean as possible. We just left the studio last night at like 12:30 to finish the last little bits of this EP. And then I'm headed into another album after that. But it's so big. It's such a big project. I'll probably have to cut it down to probably like six or seven songs because it's going to be expensive. Like, it's getting this production over here to go with this person and this person. It costs money, right? It's not cheap. And then for you to put the money out and then not get the return, and you know you're not getting the return off the rip, is another thing that you kind of got to think about, right? Because I can easily spend $400, $500 in a night just recording the songs or whatever the situation is. You get your statement in the next 3 months, it'd be $22 that you didn't make. Right. Nobody wants to talk about that part. Nobody wants to talk about that part. Yes. But you got to think in your head, it's a long-term game. And music has somewhat became the commercial of whatever else you're selling, right? Yeah. So it's becoming, and that's a big, big thing I've seen a lot lately. It's like, oh, it's always been the commercial, but I think with this new, like this social media and these streaming farms and streaming companies are probably going to end up being the new record labels. So therefore, it's just going to be a content game after a while. Mm-hmm. If we're going to be completely honest, I hate that part the most about it. Because it's a free for all.
Yeah, right. The streaming platforms, they raping, bro.
They know what they're doing, and I don't want to play that game. And that's another thing where I look at him like, okay, I'm not going to let it mess up my creative process. I'm going to do this over here. So the next couple of years, all my content's coming through my page. I'm not going to make a whole bunch of money off it, no way. I might as well put it on my page and let them listen to it, gain a real fan base, gain a real following, and then I'll really reach out and do what I need to do. But I'm not really...
That honestly just seems like what's been the traditional formula of how to really make it work. You have to have that established core.
Core is big.
Yeah, before it's you can just catapult and be viral. Or you can, you know, because you start off with the catapult viral success. And then you take off as soon as, you know, the next thing that comes is hot. So
And then even going back to what y'all said about us black folks and being in music, I think this gets really, really deep, but like I think we're the only genre that doesn't get to grow up until recently, right? Because Bon Jovi, Prince, Michael Jackson, all these other able labels are known to grow older, therefore they are able to grow a new fan base, right? So Michael Jackson in 1975 and Michael Jackson when he came out Rock My World, it's two different people, but if I would have never heard Rock My World, I probably would have never been a Michael Jackson fan because it wasn't my time frame. I think we're encapsulated to be young. And that's a big issue with us. Like, we're encapsulated to be young. I think these older artists are finally getting to a point where we're able to maybe venture out and be 44 and still be successful. But that gives every artist a time period they can't be hot for. And it also gives them a little bit of a revolving door, right? So it's just you're 29 now more, you're not selling anymore. Next person who's 19, let's do it all over again.
It's a young man's game. And I think if you look at the artists that are up in age, mid-30s, late 30s, 40s, them are established businessmen.
Yeah.
And a rapper. Like you say, it. Once you get up in age, man, it's like, okay, well, who the young hot nigga is?
Yeah, it's annoying. But I think now what's going on now, I think the biggest thing is this is the first time for me, I don't know if the generation before me had this, but I think with their rappers stopped at a certain time, but they became older act artists, right? They had old catalog. This is the first time in history that you can get Nas and 21 Savage on the same song.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This is the first decade where I'm still at this age discovering Benny the Butcher. I'm discovering like J.I.D., Tory, these new artists that are trying to do different things. This is the first time we've ever ran into this.
You know what I think a big part of that is too, man? Social media.
Yeah, it's a big part of it.
Nas is still popping on social media. A guy like still popping. A guy like Busta. You know, you can Busta.
He's new artist, pretty much.
I can make a Busta Rhymes show. And I'm not the biggest fan, but that nigga put on the show.
He puts on a show. Then that's what you go for. That you go for, you know, at the end of the day, when you go see Busta Rhymes, you're going to see a show, a real hip hop show. You know what I'm saying? And that's what Hold is together. And I'm kind of getting to a point with me personally. I'm starting to realize that it's not hip hop. It's a music business that has a hip hop element inside of it. So that's a big thing for me. I'm starting to, they was like, we got to do this for the culture. Like, even with this whole beef thing, like, people were talking about J. Cole. Me and my girl, we had a whole argument about J. Cole because she's a big J. Cole fan. But I was telling her, I was like, if he's bowing out because of how music business is, I appreciate that. Because it's predatory, bro. It's very, very predatory in every facet. And all we're doing is making them more money. And that's fine. Like I said, I'm never mad at nobody getting no money. But we have to realize that they paint this as hip-hop.
Mm.
Right.
It's not real. Hip-hop is a culture. Like, yeah. I've always felt like this, and this is just me doing a little bit of history on my end. It goes from, I think shit was broken back in the day, right? This is just a theory. I don't know if I'm right, but shit was broken back in the day. When you lose that many things as a black culture, you have to create something else for people to survive. You have to create a sense of religion. You have to say, that comes with dance. You have to create a sense of music. You have to create a sense of tabernacle, church. And I think those things are being created as time goes on. And I think we sold out at some point. And I think that we sold out. I'm kind of looking at it like, I don't know when it was, but
when they made the new Jesus chain, that's what it was.
That's another thing. Whenever they, it's the money. I think it's a big money play because I'm just
going to be saying, paid back in the 90s, though, bro. You know.
Yeah.
Oh, and they was putting
a lot of bad contracts and everything.
It was bad, but it's brand new business. It's brand new business. They know exactly what they was doing. I think now you couldn't get that shit off, obviously. We know what it is now. But you got somebody who comes from the 80s era, 70s era, crack era time period. You bring them into the 90s where they're 18, 19 years old. You give them $100,000. What do you think a 19-year-old kid is going to say?
Thank you. I'm going to go live my best life now. Appreciate it.
And they make 10 million off you.
Yeah, they make 18 million off
they
you.
They make 10 million off.
And then, you know what's funny? It's okay if you get into the red. That's fine. That's fine you get into the red. We'll run it again. And now you're in debt twice. So
Yeah, you in advance.
Now we're at a point now where it's like, what back then especially, I just felt like it was just they knew what they were doing off of what was already created. They knew niggas needed money. They knew, and they took it. They said, okay, yeah, you can go ahead and rap. Go ahead and rap, do your thing. We're going to put a chain on you because we need to present it as the culture as much as we can. And they did the music. They did the advertisements. They did this person over here. It's a genius business strategy if you really want to break it down. But every other day, I don't know if I want to be a part of that all the time. I like operating by myself.
And that's like, what I was going to ask, Marcel. Now that we see it, like you being an artist on here and specifically a hip hop artist, and being able to articulate and being able to understand the business side of things. Do you feel like that is going to hinder more artists from making it mainstream, or do you feel like we're actually going to veer off to where maybe people don't flock to that as much, or how do you see the future of it going?
I don't think hip hop, I'm putting that in quotations, I don't think it'll ever be the same again, because it's no, as much as we needed a gatekeeper, we don't have one. I shouldn't be competing with a 9-year-old rapper who doesn't know how to rap. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of crazy to me that I got to compete with attention now. I guess it's always kind of been attention game.
Yeah.
It's always been an attention game, but now I'm like, I go through Instagram, and I do sometimes go through Instagram to study. I kind of see the how it works, right?
Yeah.
And then I'll look at something, I'm like, I'm competing with this man who got on a tutu, and he... And
right. I'm or like, no shade. An like, old 50-year-old white lady with gold teeth.
Yeah.
It's like, no matter what she says, it's people gonna, because like, they never seen it. Of course people gonna like it.
And then I was like, I think that's the part that kind of hits me. Like, that's the part that kind of is just like, that's the discouraging part for me. I think that was kind of gets me like, man, I'm competing with Lil Sally on the corner, and I'm over here rapping.
Right.
Like, I ain't just like Fetty whopping it, or like, I'm not saying no slights of these people, but I'm actually sitting down and like, ooh, that's a cold line there, or this line there, and then I'll upload my shit, and then when somebody send me, my friends would literally skip my video and send me something else. You know what I'm saying? Like, listen to this dude. I'm just like,
yeah.
I don't, that's the discouraging part about it.
You know,
but
how people do, man. You know, they be on the train, bro.
I don't expect none of my friends. I tell them all the time when they don't listen to my music, I don't expect them to support it.
It's a tough day and age to be a lyricist, but definitely salute to you being a lyricist.
Thank you, bro.
It's definitely appreciated by the people that listen to music for more than just the beat and to do
it. And I love it. The funny part is, people think that I listen to miracle lyrical rap. I don't.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I have a multi palette as well, man. But it's
like,
just
as much as I listen to Benny, I'll go listen to Keek Lock in a hot minute and
go
crazy. You know what I'm saying? I listen to everything. I listen to every facet of music for sure. You know what I want to hear? I want to hear what lines you found out. Which ones you've had? I mean, you said you had
some. Oh, I shared them with the one about "Thou Shalt Never Judge a Book Until You Read the Pages." The second one, "I could never sit up, so I work out to my core sore." that was a little bar right there. It was a lot of them, and I was driving, but that one was like, damn, that was kind of tough.
Yeah, I like that one. I like one. I had to come on it because Miles is like, Miles is from Austin, and we have a really good relationship. We're not friends or nothing, but we have a really good relationship. And he come with it. And anybody, I'm never shy of a competition. Like, even if I know I'm gonna lose, I'm still gonna go. I'm still gonna try as much as I can.
Come on, man.
Big on the competition.
That was dope to me, though, man.
I appreciate it.
Tell us tell us three things that the people need to know about you, and then give us the name and title of your next project before we get out of here, man.
Okay, so three things that people don't know about me.
They don't have to not know. I ain't trying to get you exposed yourself, but three things they need to know.
I'm coming out with a new album.
Okay. You working?
I'm working. Three things. One is that I'm coming out with a new album. Let me think. I'm working.
Always. I like
it. I'm working. And just stay tuned, man. Like, I'm just honestly and truly, like, just stay tuned to what I'm going to do. Like,
are you
it's early. Like, I'm just getting the ball rolling. Just give me some time and y'all see the true vision of what I'm going for. I think that would be my biggest thing that I want people to know. Like, just trust me, it's gonna be something pretty cool that people want to see. I already got it mapped out and written down and everything, so we got some cool stuff coming around
for sure. Now, can people get at you as far as like for other creative works? I think you said you mentioned you do video work and things like that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. For sure. So yeah, that's something. I do all that on my phone.
Okay. All right. That's a bit, man.
For sure, for sure. I like helping people, bro. Like, I really, honestly, truly, I have no hate in my heart whatsoever, bro. Like, if anybody needs any help or anything, maybe anybody want to work with me, anybody need any advice, I'll give it to you. I don't mind, bro. It's not mine to hold, so. For sure, for sure. It's not mine to hold. It's everybody else's. So as much as I learned it, somebody else didn't learn it just as much as I have. So I'm never a gatekeeper over here, for sure, for sure. I do appreciate this, for real. I really do.
I appreciate you, bro.
Y'all dope. I like y'all stuff. Y'all have real conversations.
Like, that's our whole thing, man. We don't want it to feel like an interview. That's how we always operate. We just over here chilling, talking.
Yeah, that's how it is. And I like that. Y'all actually, I watched one episode where you were talking about black businesses. Y'all was talking about black businesses on one of the episodes I was watching. And I was like, see, that's what I want to be a part of. Like, so let me tell y'all a story. I'm going to let y'all get out of here after this. So I do the show the other day. And I had to go do an interview for the show, and the dude comes in. He was high as hell. It's a weed smoking show. I do a lot of weed smoking shows, but
yeah.
Come in. He was like, "Hey man, what's your name?" I was like, "I'm Marcel, bro." And he was like, "Ah, shit, man, shit, we're gonna do a little interview or whatever, and shit, that's it." So I said, "Damn." He was like, "What weed you smoking?" Like, I just smoke, bro. When you smoke a lot, you don't care what it is.
Yeah.
Last time a nigga, hey, what this is right here you got, bro?
I'm smoking, bro.
Long as it ain't no corn, we good.
I can look at it and know it's good. But
yeah.
You know, he sits down or whatever, and he was like, shit, yeah, we rolling. Hey, shout out to our podcast real quick. And I say podcast, and he was like, all right, man, thank you for coming through. That was the whole podcast. That was the whole interview.
So you did a drop.
He had to do a drop.
I was like, oh, so this is a drop. I said, you could have told me that. I would have charged you something, at least $10 or something. For real. Something for a drop. But no, like, I really appreciate y'all, for real. Especially y'all from where I'm born. So I'm definitely, when I come out there, I'm coming out there next month. I'll hit y'all up. For sure, for sure.
Okay.
For sure. I come through. I saw that video. Y'all had y'all stuff hanging, standing up and everything. And I'm gonna need that jacket. Not the jacket, but the hoodie. The long sleeve sweater y'all got. Oh, that's just fire, bro. I like that one.
Definitely
when I come down there. And y'all, where y'all located again?
I'm in Arlington. Oklahoma right now.
Oklahoma right now? Okay. Yeah, when I come down there, my dad lived there. When I come through, I pass by. I stop through and come through, for real.
And you're ripping out in Austin right now, right?
Yeah, I'm in Austin, man. I've been here 2-3 years.
Okay.
And I just now got the ball rolling. Nate's just starting to recognize me as an Austin artist. Like, just starting to get like, oh, you Marcel. Like, oh, yeah, I am.
That's a good man.
It's fun. It's been a good time. I've always had connections with people out here. So now that I'm here, it's just a skip hop down the street to actually, like, a lot of the artists that I know don't even live in actual Austin. They live down the street. Hey, I got this idea or I got this going on, which helps me out a lot. For sure.
All right, man. Well, look. Marcel, man, thank you so much again for coming through the pod, man.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely want to keep encouraging you. Keep living that rich dream. Keep on your grind, bro. You definitely gained a new fan right here, so I'm going to be looking
at you, bro.
Drops. I got to check out, too, man. I got to check out, bro. Give you an
check me out. I send y'all some stuff. I send y'all some new stuff, too. Y'all might want to hear out.
Okay.
I seen some stuff for sure.
If I come down to Austin, I'll be moving around, man. I'm definitely gonna hit you up for that session.
Yeah. We know we smoke. We can, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that's it, man. That's it. Already, man.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate y'all, man. For real.
For sure. All right, my man. We're gonna holler at you.
All right, man. Y'all have a good night, man.
All right, you too.
All right, man.
For sure, man. Shout out to Marcel, man. Our black business shout out for the week, Marcel Clemens.
Well, we got the movie of the week, then we gone.
Yeah, man. Get into the movie of the week. We was rolling.
It was organic. I ain't mad.
That's the only way we know how to do it, man. Movie of the week for this week, man. Flight. I did get a chance to watch it over the weekend.
Okay.
I thought I said it's about to be a girl fight.
No, I thought you said life.
Oh man, you know we can get into some life for real, but
oh yeah, we gonna have to do that one soon for sure.
Oh, really?
We haven't done that one yet.
I can't believe it.
That's right.
But nah, man, this was a dope movie.
Damn, boy.
Hey.
Give me the rundown, man.
Like, the movie start off on 10, going crazy. Denzel plays a pilot. Is it set in the 80s?
No, it's
recent. But it damn near seemed like he living in the 80s because he a pilot. He up there. It starts off, he in the hotel with
that's
the stewardess. What this story was, there was a lot of things in this story, but it was basically about a functioning alcoholic who had a very important job. And the crazy part about it, he was super talented at the job. Have an issue with the plane. The plane starts to go down when they're taking a flight. He lands this flight in an impossible manner.
Yeah.
Saves a lot of lives, but he does lose 6.
Out of
100, I think.
Like 102 or something.
Yeah, 100 plus. So loses 6 out of 100 plus lives. And then the crazy part about it is in the movie, they actually, because they have to do investigation and all that because lives were lost. And it's basically a lawsuit between who's going to get the blame between the pilot and the airline people and people that did the mechanical stuff and all that, which it definitely was mechanical failure, which was the whole reason they went down.
Sure.
But in the investigation, they see that there was 2 bottles of vodka that were open during the flight and in the trash can, emptied out. That would be probably normal, except for the pilot, had suspended drink service. So the only people that could have had access to that liquor was the flight crew.
Him and the stewardess.
Yeah, man.
It's
definitely a deep dive into addiction, coping first admitting to yourself that you got a problem.
Right.
And then.
So look, man, this is my whole thing.
Yeah.
So we can say that it was a mechanical issue with the plane. You can say that going off of the movie and just, you know, the facts that they were given about the plane. And I think a certain number of hours over before. What wasn't it like it had flew over the limit of hours that it should have at the time or something like that?
There was, whatever was the mechanical issue, it had a recommendation for service and they didn't service it.
And it was over a number of hours. So yeah, so you can say that, but man, the way he was getting through that storm,
bruh.
I mean, you can say, I don't know, you can say some of that may have caused it, but it was like one of those things where, and he said it at the end, he was like, he lied, basically, I'm paraphrasing, but yeah. He was like, lied until I couldn't lie no more, bro. You know, it was certain things that happened in the movie where, you know, for one, he had liquor in the system.
Yeah.
His got that test back. He had liquor in the system, had cocaine in the system, right? Yeah. Or had cocaine in the system. They found cocaine in the system. But the test was faulty. So they it wasn't admissible. It wouldn't be admissible in court.
Right.
Or you got that taken care of.
I was trying not to tell that part.
Yeah. All of that got taken care of. It got taken care of. And it's like a lot of things that were just happening to kind of cover up his real problem, which he was in. You know, he was addicted. He was an alcoholic, and I would say, you know, a drug addict as well. You know, and it was so crazy. Like, just at the beginning, you know, when everything went down, man, this dude had that plane upside down, bro.
Crazy.
Dude had that plane upside down, man.
Lost the edges.
I don't know if you remember, it was nosedive.
Bruh. Had lost both the engines.
Yes.
And nigga, they just glide through the air.
Glide.
Boy, he looked at the co-pilot like,
man, that man say, tell Trevor you love him. Say it to the man, that's cold up, bro. Man, look, bro. Man, but I think in this movie it was a lesson to be learned in this movie, as you know, a lot of movies that Denzel has done. Like, you know, you can try to run from, you know, like say you have a problem like that, you can only run from it so long, man, till it start affecting you big time and you start to, you know, losing people in your life, or you start being cause of people actually getting hurt. You know, his little the white chick that he was dating, she was a heroin addict. She had to leave him because he probably gave her anxiety about doing drugs again, you know. Mm-hmm. So and he was in denial.
Dang.
I choose to drink.
Come on, man.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
come on, man.
Yeah,
Yeah, I think it was a good movie on like the moral compass too.
Yeah, because he could have got away. He could have got away.
Scot free.
Don't lie, bro.
Hey, you know me. You know me.
Hey,
I want to be a stand up guy. I try to be.
Give me one more.
Come on, man.
But at the same time, would you really have been done, though?
Exactly. That's how it be. You say, everybody quick to say, oh, God, if you get me out of this one, I'll do this.
We always one more chance. We always one more.
But as soon as you get it, be like, yeah.
All right, good. I'm good. You fall back in the old ways.
I keep doing what I was doing.
In a situation like that, he had to go to, and I know nobody would, I'm sure this would never happen in real life like that. But just for the movie's sake, he did love the woman, though. You can tell, like, he was totally messed up about her dying.
He was concerned about her character, because he was like, nah, it ain't about to be on
he didn't want to do her a disservice of lying and saying that, you know, she was the one that drank the two bottles when he, you know, he's the one that actually drank them. So I think it was one of those things where it's just like, I just can't do it to her like that. I can't lie on her when, you know, I know it wasn't her for sure.
Yeah.
I can't, you know.
Man, that's heavy, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that was, I think, a great film. If we ain't ruined it for you, you should definitely go watch it if you hadn't seen it.
Oh, man. What the fuck? How old is that movie?
2012. Yeah. I was late
as hell. Oh, well. That's 12 years old. That's on you. That's why we talk mostly classic movies.
True.
We expect you guys to have, you know. But that's some of his best work to me, man. That's some of his best work.
Nah, it was a hard joint, bro.
Yeah.
And it also just shows the power of addiction, though, too, man. Like,
you could have you in denial a long time, man, thinking you really don't have a problem with it. Yeah. And like I said, he was having things that was happening in the movie that would give him an excuse to be like, oh, well, the test was faulty. And the white guy that was the co-pilot, I'll testify to say that it was a normal day. And, you know, even with bottles that he could have got off on, you know, he could have just said, he really could have said, I don't know if she drank them.
Right. He could have said anything.
He didn't even have to lie on her and say that, I drank them. He could have said, oh, I don't know. I didn't see her drink them, but I don't know.
Because, I mean, technically, they already know it was him. They just can't say that because his test is gone.
Visible in court, they couldn't. It was faulty, which was their mess up. But he could have been scot free without even blaming it on her. But I think at that time he was just on some stuff like, man, listen, I just relapsed last night, bro. That's why I got this band aid over my eye.
Yep.
I just had to snort some coke to get back up.
Hey, you know? When I say hey. My boy came through and got it right.
Back to the dark side. Hey, man, my boy. Hey, he had a deal on him, boy. Hey, man.
Oh, man.
Hey, came and got it right, though, man. But, jeez. That boy, that was crazy, man. What was his name on there?
Oh, man. I should know because I just watched that motherfucker. And I can't think of it.
Oh, I can't remember his name. But that dude right there, crazy, man.
Yeah, shout out to John Goodman, man. That was who played him. Oh, man, as a motherfucker. But yeah, man, appreciate y'all for tuning in to another episode of the Rich Dream Show. Hope y'all enjoy it.
Oh, man, but the playoffs,
they definitely needed to, man, because it's some great games.
Let's just see on this real quick. Hell of a doubleheader last night with Philly in New York and the Lakers in Denver. Right. Riding the coattail of what everybody else is saying. If you know me, you know.
If you're a real basketball fan and you watch the game, you know.
Just like that was amazing. Because I ain't gonna be, I'm not gonna lie, I didn't watch that whole Philly game. I was chilling with the fam and stuff, I believe.
Sure.
But I watched the last few minutes of that Philly game.
Yeah. I probably watched the last two quarters.
Game, bro. Man. It's time for the Laker Nuggets games. Crazy game.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It was like it wasn't hard to stay up to watch them games.
Not at all. Not at all. I'm usually laying down by 11 something. I stayed cool watch because man, I honestly was just sitting up watching, but when the fourth quarter hit, it got close. Yeah. I probably would have went to sleep if they hadn't came back, the Nuggets. If they hadn't came around the end of the third. I probably would have just went to bed, but man, they couldn't fight in. So I was like, okay, well let me see what's going on.
Man, that is that's a very complete team, bro.
That's demoralizing.
And that's the scary part to me. I don't really see how the Lakers could do anything more. I mean, besides AD not having but one shot attempt in the fourth quarter, but he still had 34.
You got to think about how he carried in that first. In that second quarter, bro, he probably scored like 12 straight points.
That's what I'm saying. He was doing everything he was supposed to do. He was being physical. He was guarding Joker. I mean,
fast. And LeBron.
And that's the part. And then LeBron was making plays.
Fourth quarter. I'm thinking the shots that
LeBron shot.
He put them away, like the one that he the two threes,
and then the steal for the dunk.
I ain't even talking about that one. I'm talking about the one that this one. I was like, oh yeah, the Lakers probably gonna go on and get him. You know, it's been nine straight times, so I'm like, this is the time that they gonna get him. Man, when he hit the little, you know, he backing him down and he turned it up and under and hit it. I'm like,
And he just laid there.
This is it, bro. This is, I'm talking about the jumper that he hit in the fourth.
Oh, That's what I'm talking about, G. He has so many like defining plays in this game to where you like they just gotta win. Like he got a dude came down with a rebound and without and just full court to AD. That was like the second quarter or something like that.
D-Lo hit 7 threes.
Come on, bro.
They said the dude ain't hit nothing but 5 or 6 the whole series last year against them.
Like
5 threes and he is 7.
Like you said, that to not win that game.
I don't know how. That's hurt. Even going home, and you got to think about it, bro. Jamal Murray hadn't had a great game yet.
Yeah. And you know what else I'm thinking about? Not that he should be able to, but he putting it in, bro. 40 minutes, like.
Hey, Bron or AD?
Yeah, I don't think he can hold up, Bron. Like,
no, not like that. Like, no. Which is why I think if you recognize the start that he had from game one to game two, he started out pretty fast game one.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really do much for him. They was up by 3 at the half. Him and AD, crazy first half. They were only up by 3. This game, D-Lo had it going. You know, of course, had like 24, 25 at the half. Brian got it going a little bit, but he mostly did most of his damage in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
It's like you try it that way so you can have some energy left.
Right.
And it still don't work. It's like, come on.
That's what I say, man. It's not really any blaring weaknesses with Denver, period, bro. Like, we know Joker is a superstar. He's unreal.
Man.
But then when you look at the supporting cast, you got Aaron Gordon, physical specimen. He ain't really nonsense on the defensive end. So he gonna do what they need him to do, get rebound, like, and he can score.
Yeah.
He was the scoring option at one point on the bench.
Defense, to be honest. He played decent.
Yeah.
You see that loose ball he got?
Yeah. You got KCP, champion. No, for real. The facts, bro.
Because if the Lakers get that loose ball or go out of bounds on Denver, I believe it's as good as Denver, that's game over, bro.
Yeah.
I believe that's game over. I believe that's game over.
But yeah, KCP, Jamal Murray, I mean Michael Porter Jr. I mean it's
the second year kid Bron, he came in and hit a couple buckets in the fourth.
What's his name? Michael Brown, something like that. I don't know his first name, but yeah, monster off the bench, crazy 6-man.
They just have guys that's ready, bro.
Mm-hmm.
They just have guys. Ready, man, and you can't beat that.
Yep.
Guy that's ready to play, ready to ball, can't beat it, bro.
Yep. Ain't scared, just out there hooping.
Yeah.
But this is usually about where we go anyway. So
yeah.
Not bad.
I had to touch on them. Those were great. Those were especially the Nugget Laker game. That was a great game.
Had to touch on that. Who winning the rap wars right now, bro? Chris Brown.
Man, this shit, to be honest, it's all looking goofy right now.
You see it crazy.
I don't care for it. It's
You ain't feeling it.
Kanye, even with Kanye coming out saying what he said and all that, it seems, I don't know.
That seemed really left to me.
It's all for attention at the end. And
we know, I ain't gonna lie, we know Kanye's kind of a hype beast. So
crowd chasing. That's what it is. Not attention. Everybody wants attention. All of those rappers wants attention. Yeah. But it's different than the clout chase. I think that's what
I'm gonna say. I don't put Drake in that category because he was the one attacked. He defended himself.
And he don't need it. Yeah.
Yep.
I wouldn't even say Kendrick is clout chasing. I think Kendrick is really
competitive. Like, but I'm talking about the add-ons, you know.
Yeah.
Add-on pieces is kind of crazy. Yeah. But yeah, this is like I said last week or 2 weeks ago, however many weeks, the boy is up.
I mean, you can't.
He really up after this. But did you hear it, bro?
the Snoop and Pac thing.
Come on, man.
Hey man, he war ready. Like he didn't have plenty of beefs at this point with different rappers. So
it just seemed like, you know, it ain't, it's effortless.
You can't think that you just don't throw one verse out there and, you know, do anything to him. Like, he be ready for beef. I ain't gonna lie, he be ready for rap beef.
That's what I'm saying, man. You think K-Dot try to lay them hands on him to catch him out in public, man?
Of course not. He the one.
You see, he doing the Compton push-ups, bro.
Of course not. Neither one of
them. You stop, man. What'd you say?
Ain't about to bust a grape, which that's cool. I mean,
as it should be.
Yeah, who wants to see him fight? Like,
go watch wrestling.
Right. Exactly.
Man, we appreciate y'all. Make sure y'all following everything at the Rich Dreams Universe. Make sure y'all shopping at our Etsy shop, getting you some Rich Dreams apparel merch. Make sure y'all get the new sweaters that we got out right now as well. Look out for the new drop.
Trip on the way. We're redoing the windbreaker shorts. I promise they will be better sized this time.
Yeah.
Tees, we got some tees to go with them. So, and I'm gonna probably do another set for the females before summer ends for sure. So, they tapped in with us, man. We're gonna come with it. Like I said, man, we're gonna be consistent this year for sure.
Yes, sir. All right, man. This is G. I'm Smoke. It's the Rich Dream Show. Peace.